got that. Just instincts right there. Am I on?
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm in. All right, great. Hey, I've noticed that y'all probably have seen a big hole over here to my left.
That's where our youth group... Are we on? Test.
Okay. This is where our youth group usually sits. I'm on here. I'm not on here. Hang on. I'm on.
Test. No. Test. Okay, we'll
just use this. It'll be fine. Okay, there's a huge hole over here. This hole over here has been empty for about 2 weeks. Okay, so I want to show you where they were, not this week, but last week. As you look at this picture, they were over at Louis Riddle's house, worshiping with Louis. And so they all walked over there after Bible class, and all the youth group went over to Louis's house, which is really close here. And they watched the worship service, sang and everything, because you can watch it on YouTube Live. And so they did that with Louis and Janice last week. So that's why there was a big hole there. This week they were at Quartz Mountain, the Christian camp. I don't think they've left yet. But now just leave me right here. I'll stay right here. I'm good. I'm right here. So QMCC, Quartz Mountain Christian Camp, we had 29 of us that were there for that. And here's a couple of other pictures. And this is some of our guys. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a hammer up there over someone's head. I don't understand that. I don't know where they got the hammer. I just know that it's in that picture, and I was like, why in the world does Brant have a hammer? Who knows? And then the next picture is another mountain, and some of us there looking down on the camp, and so we had a good time, and the topic of our lesson is good today, so we're going to talk about good today. So what I want to do is I want to do a little exercise with you, so I'm going to need some feedback from you. I've got some words that I'm going to put on the screen, and y'all, if y'all go switch to screens, if you don't mind, Jerry. All right, so you see these words, and what we're going to do is you're going to help me put these in order of importance, okay? So which word do you think has the most importance first and on down the line? So we're looking at these words. As you look at these kind of synonyms and stuff, which word do you think needs to be number one? Excellent, what? Exceptional. Okay, exceptional. How many exceptionals? All right. We'll put that as number one. Okay. What is second? Excellent. Excellent. Number two. What's number three? Wonderful. Number four. Great. Number five. Good. Number six. Six is satisfactory, and acceptable is seven. Okay. It's interesting to me that word good comes in fifth place when we're talking about things. So there was a couple of us that went to a lecture at Oklahoma Christian by a guy by the name of Scott McKnight. He's written about 74 books. He's got a lot of books that are out. One of the things he talked about that wasn't in just something he just came up with and he just kind of talked about it was the word good in the Bible. It's a word that is called tov, T-O-V in Hebrew, okay? And so he talked about this word and he said it's used over 700 times in the Bible. He said, you ought to go look it up. You ought to go kind of study it. So I did. I looked up all the 700 verses of the word tov, or the word good, in the Bible. And what I came up with and what I saw was good is a deeper word than fifth place. Okay? It's a better word than fifth place. It's a exceptional word. if you know what I mean. It's an exceptional word in Scripture. And today what I'd like to do, just for a few moments here, is I would like to us to just to look at a word called good. The word called good. Before we get into that, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. God, as we come before you this morning, I ask that you be with us as we study this word in Hebrew called Tov, a word which is good. And as we talk about this, in some ways it's confusing, because when we hear it as just individuals, we hear the word good, we hear something really near acceptable and satisfactory. But Lord, there's a deeper meaning here, because you are good. And because you are good, we need to understand what that word means. So help us as we study this morning. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So let me ask you a question. How many of you were considered good kids growing up? I mean, you know, good kids. Clyde, you didn't raise your hand. I'm sorry. Anyway, so there's most of us in here. I had to get to point somebody out, Clyde. You were the one. You didn't raise your hand, so there you go. So most of us in here were probably considered good children. We're considered good kids. But when you do that and you look at this, what does that mean? I mean, we put this up here. We were the ones that chose the words. Usually, you're a good kid. I was called a good kid growing up. And when I was called a good kid growing up, if you look at this, I wasn't exceptional. I wasn't excellent. I even wasn't a superior. I wasn't even great. I was just good. And for us, for many of us, that word there, it just kind of shocks me that we use that word to mean something very special to a child, to mean something very special to our children. Because my parents, they told me, James, you're a good kid. What does that really mean, coming from a parent? Because a child hears that, and they may hear something totally different than what you're actually meaning. All right, we can flip back. Look at this passage in Psalm 14, verse 1. In Psalm 14, verse 1, it says this: "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good." So in the Bible, the psalmist is saying there's not one person that does good. In fact, Paul took that same message, that same thing, and he said this in Romans chapter 3, verse 12. He said, "All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." And so from Paul's perspective, there's no one that does good. There's no one that does good. So how does one define good? How does one define good? Look at this passage of Scripture, if you don't mind, and listen to this. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasures, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Here's the thing. I know that there are a lot of good people in this world. And one of the things we're talking about here is not just the actions of an individual, not just the things they do, not just the things they act on. What we're actually talking about here is we're talking about your heart. Is your heart good? And what Paul was saying and what the psalmist was saying is that in every single one of our hearts, every single one of our hearts, there's a place where it's not good. That's why we need Jesus, right? That's why we need Him. That's why we need the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ in our life to wash that away. so that we become righteous because he has made us righteous, not because we have done good or we are righteous, but because he's made us that way. So our hearts become pure and our hearts become good. But then again, let's look at what dictionary.com considers good. How do we define good? It does matter. So look at this. And it's on the screen. The first one is, it's morally excellent, virtuous, righteous, or pious. That's good. Now the second one is exactly what y'all did. Y'all, when I said, tell me what good is, you didn't put it at the top. You didn't say those words, morally excellent, virtuous, righteous, or pious. You actually went to the second definition of good in dictionary.com, which is satisfactory in quantity, quality, or degree. That's where we went to, because that's kind of what our society looks at. And so when they see the word good, it's just good. You're just good. You're just satisfactory. Satisfactory. So, as we look at this, as we understand this word good, there's a tension that exists in our lives between good and evil. This tension exists within inside our hearts. This tension which is inside of us to be good, but we still don't know exactly what good means. But let's talk about the tension before we get there. So here's the tension. It's what Leander, what he did and what he read. I'm going to read it again. It's one of the hardest passages to read is Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 21, because it's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So let's try it again, okay? So listen, I'm going to do it slowly. I do not understand my own actions. Okay, I don't understand my own actions. I don't understand why I do some of the things I do. I don't get it, Paul's saying. For I do not do what I want. The thing I've got in my heart to do, I don't do that. But I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, that the law is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know, here he is again. This is the second time he said this. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking about this. That is in my flesh, in that fleshly state of who we are. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Anybody agree with that statement sometimes? I want to do what's right. I desire to do what's right, and I strive to do it, but that evil just keeps popping, that tension of that evil, just kind of Satan and deception, he just keeps pulling me back into that. Verse 20, now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who is doing it, but that sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Isn't that correct? All of us have been there. All of us understand that. Okay, so let's go back to my little screen here. I'm going to do some drawing here a little bit here. Okay, we got good, we got evil, right? Now, I would put that there is, I could have just put good, evil, and a line in the middle of it. You're either good or you're bad. The problem is with this is that in here, right through here, I can't put a line of where good and evil lies. Because for many of us, there's this gray area that sits inside in between good and evil, correct? For most of us? And so for some people, I could draw a line on here. I could draw a line, but my line would be, my good, you're if you go over this line, you're evil. Where some people would say, no, that line could be right here before it's evil, correct? So you understand what I'm saying here, that kind of morphs back and forth between good and evil, that we kind of say, well, there's this gray area that we live in. And many of the decisions that we make are not just good and they're not just evil. They're trying to navigate what's going on inside of this gray area that we see here. And so all of us are striving to understand, what decisions do I make? How do I make this? And they're good. And if I go, where is that? And for some people, it's all about your conscience. That's what Paul says. It's all about what's going on in your heart, whether it's good or whether it's evil. He talks about that when he's talking about food and what do you eat food offered to idols or not offered. It's right. It's that gray space right there. So my question is, who gets to define good? Who gets to define good? Who gets to define that? All right, so let's say it. You ready? Let's see if y'all can get it the first time. God is good. No, it's not going to work. Okay, God is good. And all the time. All right, do you understand what we just said? Let's try it again. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Okay, God is good. God is good. We can go, let's go back to the slides. And if you go to the next slide. Okay, so the word good is defined by God himself. So write that in. The word good is defined by God himself. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Now, this is what God is speaking to Moses at this time. He's speaking to Moses, and Moses is saying, I want to see you, God. I want to see you. I want to see your face. And God says, No. You can't see my face, but I guarantee you what I will do. I will put my hand in front of you, and then you can see my backside. You can see from me from behind. And so Moses goes up on the mountain. He's looking to see God, and God says, I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you and proclaim to you before you my name. As I'm going past, I'm going to proclaim my name to you, the Lord, and I will be gracious of whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, what's so interesting about that is that all the attributes, listen to this, and you can fill this in. I've got another couple of slides here before this, but fill this in already on B. God is defined by the attributes of God. Good. Good is defined by the attributes of God. All the attributes of God, all of his character, all of his nature, everything is defined by God. Now, do I have that song on there, Jerry? All right. This song ought to have different meaning to us. Because when we say God is so good, is he just acceptable? Is he just satisfactory in our lives? Or is he exceptional? Is he excellent? Is he superior? Is he wonderful? All of these words that we put at the top, and then we put good down. If we sing this song, is God just good? Understand that when we sing this song, we are singing a song that's saying God is awesome. He's gracious. He's kind. He's patient. He's loving. All those things get put into one word in the Bible. Good. So let's sing it. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. One more time. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Okay, so look at these passages. Look at these passages right after B. Psalm 86, verse 5, it says this. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. For the Lord, here's the next verse, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Over and over and over in the Psalms, it talks about that God is good. In other words, all the attributes of God, everything about him, his steadfast love, his faithfulness, all comes down into this word, Hebrew word, tov. All comes back to this word, good. Good. God is good. Because all of his attributes come together in that one word. When God created the first day, after he created the first day, what did he say? It was, is it just satisfactory? Was it just, oh, he created light. Yeah, it's good, God. Eh, whatever. I mean, no. I mean, it was like, oh, you know? Like, this is, man, unbelievable. And then after you created everything, what did he say? It was very good. Very good. Very good. Psalm 119, 68 says, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. I want to know the good God that is in this book. We need to know the good God that is in this book. He is the one that we need to know. In Mark 10, verses 17 through 18, Jesus pulls us back to God and says, he's the one that's good. Look at this verse. As he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. No one is good except God alone. God is good. Everything about him is that. So, what's our role then? Okay, if I'm going to be a good kid, what does that mean? If I say you are a good kid, what does that mean? What should it express to our children if you call them a good child? I call them good because we see these things that God does that he wants us to do to be good. Listen to this. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? So the God has told us, he said, here's what's good, people. Here's the thing that you can do to be a good person. You do justice. You love kindness. And you walk humbly with your God. Do you think that's easy? It's not. It's not. It's not easy to do justice, to show this impartiality to people, to not hold racism in your heart, to not hold stuff against other people. That's not easy to show justice to people, is it? To people who are different, who look different, who act different than you do, it's not easy to show that. And to love kindness, just be kind to people. To be kind in the way we think. Listen, we can be kind outwardly all day long. I can be kind to people, and I can be kind to someone, and then I turn around, and the next thing I know, I'm saying, man, I can't stand that person. Right? And then it goes back to that verse about what's going on in your heart, isn't it? And so God's required, he's told us what's required of us to be good. And what it means and what we're seeing here is that it goes right back to the character of who we are. It goes back to our heart. It's back to what is right down there inside of us that sits there. Is that good? Is that good? I'll read Luke 6, verse 45 one more time. The good person, out of the good treasure of her heart, his heart and her heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his or her evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his or her mouth speaks. The good within us, the God nature that is within us, that good, that God goodness is seen. People, it is seen. You show that to others. It's something people know about us. People know about my failings. People know where my heart is not good because it's expressed in what we do with other people each and every day. It's expressed in what we do with our children each and every day. It's expressed in what we do with our coworkers each and every day. It's expressed in what we do with our spouses each and every day. It's expressed in those things. And you see that coming out of our heart. So what are we supposed to do good? Here's the first thing. Write it down. Imitate God. Imitate God. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate God, who is good. You could just put this both words in there. You imitate good, or you imitate God. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Here's another one, Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. All right, here's B. Why? Why should I be good? Because there's a reward. There's a reward. For you, getting your heart right, for you, doing good, for us, for me, for all of us, there's a reward for those who do good. Matthew 25, I end with this verse, Matthew 25, 23. His master said, well done, what? Good and faithful servant. Well done, God person. Well done, God little g, individual God, because you are the God nature. You have that God nature within you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Oh, there is a reward. That reward for being a good kid all your life is eternity spent with the Father. And there's nothing more important than that. And so, do we want to be a good church? Yes. Do we want to be good people? Yes. We want to be good. We don't want to be acceptable or satisfactory. We want to be God good. And if we understand it like that, and you look through the Bible and you see those words that talk about good, remember when you read that word, you're reading the attribute of God and who He is. And if you're here today and your heart's not right and it's not in a good place, and you need the prayers of this church, our men here getting up, or our shepherds, they will be more than happy to pray with you, or you can come down here. We can pray with you as a family. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, our good Savior, and given your life to Him and repented of your sins and been baptized for remission of your sins, then please, we have water that's ready. We'll baptize you right now if you want to. Whatever you need is, would you come as together we stand and say.